are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are. Wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here, and I hope you're delighted to be here as well. Now, those of you joining us for the very first time, a special welcome. I'm glad you're here, and I realize that a lot of you are joining us by means of radio. And let me just say, you need to write this down so you can check it out. KevinSmithShow.com, all right? KevinSmithShow.com is where you need to go as soon as you can get to your computer and get the internet fired up. Go over to our website, KevinSmithShow.com, and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It is free, absolutely free, no strings attached, and you can unsubscribe anytime you decide that you wish to do so. No strings attached. Okay, it's very simple. It's all under your control. But in the newsletter, which goes out each weekend, you will get show updates, articles of interest, links to interesting places around the internet, and a lot of other good stuff. All right, so get over there and subscribe. And then you will be part of the group who is in the loop. You don't want to be out of the loop, right? You want to be in the loop, especially with the Kevin Smith Show. Sometimes, once in a while, we put in some articles about people who are coming to the show, upcoming guests. And I've been asked, why don't you give us a list of upcoming guests? Well, see, I have tried that several times, and a couple of things happened, but the most important thing that has happened is I have discovered that out on the internet, as well as out in the world, there are some really outrageously insane people. And when I publish a list of upcoming guests, if there's a guest on there where someone has decided they don't like that guest, we have been subjected to denial of service attacks that in the past have been successful in taking down our stream. So we don't do it. I just don't do it, and I won't, and that's the reason. So, but if you check our website each day, a couple of hours before the show, you will see who is going to be the guest for the evening, all right? I will tell you that each and every guest we bring on is a guest that we believe, that I believe, has information to offer that's going to be interesting and informative. That doesn't mean that I'm promoting that guest and saying that, boy, this is the real deal. I don't know, just like you don't know, until we listen to what they have to say and ask questions. And that's what this show is all about. This show is all about, let's hear what they've got to say, and then all across North America, let's light up the phone lines and ask our questions. Some of you try again and again and again to get in, and you haven't been able to. It's that way on every popular talk show. But let me urge you to continue to try, all right? After that first time you call in, just keep hitting redial till you get in, all right? Because we want to hear from you. All right, my guest this evening, highly controversial and very interesting, Jeff Woolline. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Are you working hard to get ahead but seem to be moving backwards, not forward? Do you run into obstacles and resistance everywhere you turn? I'm Monique Chapman with 25 years' experience helping people in fulfilling their dreams. Call me today at 888-240-6057 and schedule your consultation that will assist you in making key decisions to bring your life back into balance. Check out my website for all services offered, www.healing-visions.com. Love yourself enough to make the call today, 888-240-6057.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. My guest this evening is Jeff Woolline, and he's been with us before. It's been a while since he's been with us, but he has been with us before several times. Jeff has, I first became aware of Jeff when I saw him on the TV news out here in the Phoenix area, and they were featuring some of his video. And I started trying to get in touch with him, couldn't find out how to get in touch with him. I don't know how we finally got in touch, but anyway, we did. Jeff is a sky watcher and videographer. He videotapes things, strange things that are seen in the skies out here around Phoenix. But he's gone beyond that in taking a look at the surroundings. And in those surroundings, around the areas where these very strange things happen, he discovered there are ancient petroglyphs, apparently put there by Native Americans, hundreds and hundreds of years old, perhaps thousands of years old. And the interesting thing is that a lot of those petroglyphs depict the shapes of the same things we see in the skies. And he has continued that research into the petroglyphs and has even discovered some new information about South Mountain, which is a very active area for these things. Jeff, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here.
I said at the top of the show that my guest this evening would be Jeff Woolline, very controversial, and you are. I don't think you started out, or I don't think that you planned to be controversial, but it has turned out that way. And I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. At least people know who you are, right?
Well, at least the research that I'm doing. And, you know, like you said before, I took it a step further. I just didn't just see these things in the sky. I actually hunted them down. You know, this started for me years ago when I started seeing these things in the sky, not even looking for them, but that, you know, here they are. And so it made me go on a quest, it made me go on a hunt, maybe go on a journey and do some serious research on what the hell was going on, because the government, you know, obviously wasn't telling us. They were still telling us that these Phoenix lights were flares. So what I did is I just kind of took it a step further. I read up on the Native American history here, and I did some research, you know, on some old scrolls that, you know, we found throughout the centuries and things, and they talk about the same things that we're seeing in the sky today. So I just basically went on a hunch, you know. In 2004, one of the news medias here captured a string of lights on the west side of the Estrella Mountains, and Estrella Mountains means star in Spanish. I find that very interesting. And so I just had a hunch, you know. There was a sky watcher a few years back who was videotaping some strange lights in 1998, 1997, things like that. And so I went on a hunch. I went on the east side and thinking that I'm not going to see anything at all. And lo and behold, within a week and a half, you know, it paid off. Our determination and our hard work and our patience, and that's the thing. You got to have a lot of patience for these things, you know. And it paid
off.
Yeah,
they happen when they happen. They don't happen just because you want them to.
Yeah, that's another thing. And so in studying these things and following them, you know, these things led me to the mountain, you know. And I remember seeing a guy on television, one of the Indian tour guides here. He works for the Pueblo Indian Art Museum. And I saw him on television talking about petroglyphs, and he was talking about doorways and vortexes and just, you know, it was really strange things. And I kind of was looking at that, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? We got strange things in the sky. Now we have strange markings on the rocks out here. Why don't we do a little bit more investigation on this? And as I did, come to find out, it seems like all these generations, for thousands of years, people are trying to figure out, you know, what these petroglyphs mean, you know, because the Indians tell us that these are doorways for the lizard people coming and going through the underworld. And, you know, for all these years, it seems to be missed. But in fact, in studying these hills and watching these hills, this has been going on for centuries. These things have actually been with us, in my opinion, the whole time. Some people claim that this is, you know, they claim, well, this is extraterrestrial. And in my point, you know, there could be some spaceships out there with some green guys, but, you know, in a way, what I'm seeing out here is kind of something completely different. In my opinion, this isn't extraterrestrial. This is interterrestrial.
Well, let's deal with the controversy just a little bit. There are some a couple of other sky watchers, and I don't want to dredge this up, raised issues and said these are, you know, your videos are just balloons and things like that. The problem I have with that is we're seeing the same shapes in video taken in Mexico, also I believe in Turkey. If your videos, and you got to defend your own work, but as an inquisitive mind looking at this, I would have to say that if your videos are balloons, the same balloon salesman hit Mexico and Turkey, and I think I may be wrong, but I think some of these have been seen also in Bulgaria. And it's always around mountains. Always. All of the videos, the ones in Mexico, Turkey, and there's another place, I think it's Bulgaria, they're always around mountains. And I talked, we've had Jaime Maussan here on the show. I talked with him on the show about what you're filming. He's very familiar with it. And he said, yes, and we have the same things appearing in the sky down here in Mexico, and they seem to be coming up out of the mountains. So it would seem improbable to me that the same balloon salesman hit Mexico and Turkey and wherever else, Bulgaria or wherever it was. It just seems not probable. But for those, and I know that we have people who have recently begun to listen to the show, perhaps have run into these statements made by the other sky watchers, these other two, one of whom I think you said has now admitted that he has faked some videos himself. Because I know that's out there, I'm going to do tonight what I did the last time you were on this show, and I'm just going to ask you, are any of your videos bogus, and are you bogus? Are you a hoaxer?
Absolutely not. You know, if anybody clearly goes to my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com, I've done my homework. I've done my research. I sat by that mountain and I watched these things come and go. The story on this mountain say that there are supernatural beings. There is another life form that lives, resides inside these mountains here. All I did was took some little bit of time, a little bit of patience, a little bit of understanding, and I sat by that mountain, and sure enough, It's correct. It's right. All these stories and legends about these things, it's in the mountain. It's true. And you're right. These things do hang around mountains. And I believe one of the reasons is because of the energy some of these mountains, you know, cause. You know, in studying South Mountain and studying what's going on, what had happened out here, I had come to find out that some of the story out here seemed to be either erased or turned over or just either forgotten. And in doing this, I went to go investigate this. I went to the public library. I went downtown Phoenix to the public library. And I was doing some research on the CCC. And I understand, you know, back then, you know, we had a depression and people needed work.
Okay, for our listeners that are outside of the United States, let me say that the CCC is one of the agencies that was started by Franklin Delano Roosevelt to deal with the Great Depression back in 1929, 1930, along in there. And what happened was he created several agencies of the government that hired people to go do public works. And so this was his way of putting money back into the economy and getting people back to work.
That's
so
correct.
When Jeff talks to us about the CCC, that's what we're talking about. Okay, Jeff, sorry for the interruption, but go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. That's great that you clarified that. But so, you know, in doing so, they didn't understand what they were doing. They didn't understand, you know, they went in there to clean up the park. You know, well, why would you want to clean up the park? Well, in doing so, they kind of erased, in my mind, kind of the story out here. Now, in studying the CCC, like I said, I went to the library, and lo and behold, I found this folder. And I opened up this folder, and I started reading some of the files that was in this folder. And I came across a flyer that was passed out back in the early 1940s, I believe. I think it was stopped probably by 1943, somewhere around in there. There's only four copies left. You can't take it outside the library anymore. So I had to photocopy it. But it talks about on how the Mayans were here, on how the Mayans used to bring gold from the gold of Mexico, from where Mexico City lies now, and they'd bring gold over here, a handful of gold for a handful of corn. And you see, they'd take this gold and they'd use this gold to make idols with for these supernatural beings here on South Mountain. They weren't sun worshippers, but they feared the sun as a tyrant god. And they felt that this tyrant god had demons inside the mountains here. And they felt that life came from the earth. Everything came up out of the ground, and everything shall return back into the ground in the doorway. And one day, for reasons unknown, I'm still looking into this on the reason why they stopped doing this, but human sacrifice seemed to be what this tyrant god liked, wanted. the petroglyphs show, some petroglyphs show, of these UFO, these entities, in fact, taking people away, you know, off the mountain here. This story on the South Mountain is something completely different than what we are being led to believe or led to be, you know, this story has been erased, has been covered up. But yet, the evidence, we can find the altars all over the mountain, and the petroglyphs show and explain exactly what happened thousands of years ago. Now, for some unknown reason, the sacrificing stopped, and the tyrant god got angry. And some say that a missile came from the east and, you know, took the people away. It blew up everybody. The scientists say that a meteor came in above the city and exploded and wiped the people out, except for the existing people that hid within the mountains. Now, the Pimas say, the Indians say, that the devil came up out of the east and took the people away. Now, that story seems to be going into the conclusion, into the fact of what we see on the petroglyphs here. Now, in one of my videos, in one of my sightings, I saw a flying bull. It looks like a little Chinese bull. And he zoomed across the city there, zoomed across downtown Phoenix, and he landed over here on South Mountain on the east side. Now, in doing this and seeing that and looking at this petroglyph that I found up here on the hill on the east side, it shows this bull turning into human form and actually picking up a person up by its head. This is very interesting because the natives say that, you know, something came out of the east and took these people away. But there was survivors. According to the story, there was survivors. And the people that survived this hidden within the mountains. And they all admitted that they did wrong for not sacrificing to the tyrant god. So what they did is they took their sacred gold items and the rest of the gold, and they buried them within South Mountain in the sacred spots and offered their hearts on the sacred stone, on the sacrificial stone to the sun god. Now the Pimas, who lived at the time over there on Superstition Mountains, they were affected on this also. They had some survived, some got taken away also. But the people that did survive all this knew that death became those who walked among the hills in here. So they all got afraid and packed up their stuff and headed towards Mexico to the Valley of the Gold.
So they headed down into Mayan country, which
right.
they would have known about because they had been trading with the Mayans.
Exactly.
All right, now, scientists say it was a meteor.
Yeah, the scientists will sit here and they'll tell you that it was a meteor. Now, it's interesting because, you know, some parts of the landscape out here on South Mountain, it changes. It seems like, you know, like one part of the rocks, these rocks out here are very strange. My son likes to call them turd rocks because they look like big, giant, you know, they're big, big,
we
and black.
We got it.
And,
yeah. We understand.
And when you knock on them, they're hollow. Okay, it's very interesting. You know, they're hollow. And the scientist, you know, has even admitted, you know, they don't even know how some of this mountain was formed. Some of it was made by a volcano. Some of it was made, you know, by natural, you know, causes and things. But mostly, there's a fault line in here. Now, scientists say that a meteor came in and wiped everybody out, but I find no evidence of this. You know, we would find traces of burnt, you know, something, just, you know, seriously enough to wipe these people out. I don't see that. What I do see is these petroglyphs and the stories of the myths of basically, you know, the Phoenix Lights.
Well, back to the meteor for a minute. Where's the crater?
Right, exactly. Well, that's the thing. That's what they say. See, it didn't hit. It just exploded above the atmosphere.
Okay, but they say that is what happened in 1908 above Tunguska in Siberia. And
right.
There was something like, 550 square kilometers that was just blown down, destroyed. Okay, where's the evidence of that?
That's correct. That's correct.
And those are called bolide meteors. You know, it's here's another thing. When ancient people saw something strange in the sky, that's what they drew. We have tons and tons of drawings and carvings and things of comets or meteors from ancient people. But that isn't what the petroglyphs show. And so I am persuaded that isn't what they saw. They did not see a comet. They did not see a meteor. They saw something else.
Yeah, and that's very interesting, too, because, you know, the archaeologists down here, they'll admit to you, well, we don't see any evidence of warfare of these Ho'okam people. Ho'okam meaning the people that disappeared. They went missing. We don't even know what happened to them. But, you know, and the archaeologists are saying, well, there wasn't any evidence of war, but they're not saying that these petroglyphs are showing guys shooting arrows, bows and arrows, at things in the sky above their head. You know, flying snake-looking things, flying worm things, you know, like crosses and diamonds and just weird shapes, weird formations in the sky, and they're shooting at them.
One of the interesting things about those petroglyphs, and I noticed this on your site, you just mentioned it too, is that they do show crosses. And these are not, you know, simple, just one straight line down and one straight line across. These are drawn out as a box cross. And it is the practice of ancient peoples all over the world that they drew pictures of things they saw in the sky.
That's correct. Like crosses. Correct.
Have you seen any flying crosses?
Oh, you know, I can understand what they're talking about. You know, not literally like steel, but motion, yes. What this thing did as it flew by the window, it was pure red, and it was spinning. It was spinning. If you look on the video, it's spinning. And as it's spinning, it's changing shape. It's changing into a cross, and then it goes to a ball, and then to a cross. It's doing a lot of things in that picture as it flies by the window. So, you know, going back to the story, there has always been, you know, activity here at this mountain. And when the people came over here, when they first got here, they all knew that there was gold buried in the mountains out here. They all thought, hey, you know,
you're talking about the settlers that moved west and came out here.
That's correct. The first pilgrims, when they all came out here, they were all looking for gold. And because they all heard rumors, you know, because these crazy Indians are out here making gold idols and stuff, and the rumor has it that the gold is still buried within these mountains. Well, many people has tried, according to the myth, the story here in Phoenix, is there was gold temples here. And by the time the white man got here, all the gold was missing, but the white man knew that of the rumors of the gold, and they started looking for some. You know, I find it interesting that back in, I think it was back 1960s, maybe earlier than that, it's on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com. I found a little newspaper clipping that verifies, kind of, this gold story. Apparently, there was a little old lady, I can't remember her name right now, it's on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com, and apparently she was very well known because she paid her rent money in gold. She had little gold nuggets. And she said that she was pulling them down from South Mountain. Now, after she died, her son was promised that he was going to be told the secret location within South Mountain of where this gold was buried. But unfortunately, she passed away before he got this information. Well, I believe back in 1960s, they had to call in a helicopter. He made the news because they had to pull in a helicopter to pull him down from the mountain. And his excuse for being stuck so high up on the mountain is he was in search for the gold that he was promised. So this whole story is there's gold here, there's gold idols, if you will, and it all has to do with what's inside this mountain. It all has to do with the spirituality of the mountain, how sacred these mountains are, not just South Mountain, but all the mountains around us. If you notice,
Jeff, we have to take a break. It has started, and it's going to cut off your microphone and mine. We'll return to the story of the gold in South Mountain with Jeff Woolline right after this break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Trouble's always easy to find. Before you know it, you're in trouble all the time. Well, God loves all of his children, even if you're not one in a million. I know you're not a little kid anymore, but keep the faith because you're almost ready for the law. Walk back to the beat of a new tune, but don't hold back if you're thinking it's too soon. Your bags are packed, so act like you know.
Welcome back. We are talking with Jeff Woolline, and what we're talking about is, it's, I guess you could say UFOs.
They are unidentified flying, UFS, unidentified flying something. And out here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, our skies are frequently visited by strange things that we don't know what they are. And Jeff has videotaped a lot of these things and has found a connection between them and drawings, petroglyphs, that are drawn, carved, if you will, onto the rocks of the mountains around here. And these petroglyphs were left there, they were placed there, by Native Americans, some of whom we know who some of them are, but there's a big group of them that even the Native Americans who later came to this area don't know who they are. And they used in their language a word, hohokam, which means the people that went away, that vanished. We don't know who they were. So it's the people that were here, but they're not here now. And you, Jeff, have found a connection with gold. Why the settlers came here, according to what you've told us tonight, is in search for gold that they had heard about.
That's correct.
That answers for me a question that I have had since I've been out here in Phoenix, and that is, what was it when the first settler was crossing the desert out here, what was it that he saw that made him say, Ma, this is it. This is where we're going to settle. Because in the summertime, this is North Hell.
That's correct.
I have always contended that the reason Phoenix got started was a broken wagon wheel, and they just couldn't go any further. But you're saying they came out here in search for gold.
Well, the first people were back in, you know, like the early 1800s and stuff, you know, like especially the Mexican Spanish settlers, the people that went in and wiped out the Mayans, you know. I believe that they were possibly here too. And the whole, you know, they were conquerors. The whole idea for them was looking for gold. They wanted that gold, you know, from the Indians. Yeah. So that's basically what it was all about. If you look on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com, you can see on how it was Jack Spelling who looked over the White Tanks Mountains with his horse, and he saw the open valley of Phoenix area desert and saw the adobe villages that were still left there behind and stuff, and he decided that it was perfect farmland, he said. It was a perfect farmland, and that's how Phoenix started. Matter of fact, it started outside, right out there in Mesa and Tempe, I believe, and then it kind of spread.
Well, and, you know, look, that guy must have been drinking left-handed vodka.
Yeah.
Folks, I mean, there are things about Phoenix that I like. There are things about the Phoenix area that I think are charming, but this is a city that if you take all the buildings away and you take all the irrigation away that we've done, and we do, you know, we have city water, and so people, you know, water their plants, and people have planted trees, but if you take it as it stands, in other words, just the raw desert, this looks like Mars with cactus on it.
That's correct.
And he thought it looked like perfect farmland.
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he saw the old, all the old natural springs, because at that time, you know, the mountain does have natural springs in it. We'll get to that, you know, a little bit later in the show on the significance of water to these things. But there was water on the mountain, and you can, to this day, you can still see the old Holcomb canals and stuff that was running through the valley and things. So it was a fairly big city, not a big city as it is today, but the Mayans did live in sacred spots, you know, around the mountains and inside the mountains also.
Inside the mountain?
Yes, correct.
How do you know?
Well, not, you know, inside, because I haven't found any caves yet that'll take me in there. But I'm sure I know that there are some. Yeah, they're just safely tucked away somewhere. Hopefully, one day someone will find one. But you can still see, you know, there was structures out there. I believe the Indians did make adobe houses and things out there on South Mountain there, because some of the petroglyphs do show this. And going back to the gold story, I find it, you know, all this story, everything that I'm leading up to, is stuff that we're finding pretty much in the Bible, you know, stuff. We got gold sacrifice out, we got gold idols, we have sacrifice going on out here, kind of some worshipers and things, just like what we read, you know, sometimes in Genesis, you know. And the petroglyphs go a little bit further. They show depicting of giants. They show these huge giant forms and these little guys, and they're looking up at these giants and stuff. When I go up on South Mountain, I find these huge stones that look like stones we see, you know, in Mexico, or sometimes the pyramids, you know, big cut stones. And they're placed up here on this mountain, and it's like, how the hell did they get these things up here? They weigh, you know, at least a couple tons, but yet they're perfectly fit. It's like there's a wall up there. What's left of a structure, there's a wall up there. And
now, have you photographed that wall?
Yeah, you know, I believe the CCC did some damage up there, and there's a video. I made a video called the Saga, and in it I show it pans out and it shows a big old debris, and that was a wall. I believe there's still stuff under there. I believe that they covered it. They covered the other side of the mound there. They covered it with dirt and stuff on the other side, but on the side facing the city, they blew up. It's all gone. But you can still see petroglyphs that was there at one time.
Now, these giants that are depicted,
yes.
You've done a lot of research into the Native American traditions and stories that still exist, and folks need to know that really just on the other side of South Mountain begins a reservation.
That's correct.
And so we still have a lot of Native Americans living in the Phoenix area. And in Phoenix, but I mean, when I say Native Americans living in the Phoenix area, I mean living on reservations as Native American nations.
Right, just right outside the city, too.
So, as you have talked with them and listened to their traditions and their stories, and as you've researched documents in the library, what have you come across about the giants? What do they say about these giants?
you know, the story really doesn't go as far as oral tradition here. You know, the oral tradition, there are giants, you know, but there's mostly little people. I come to find out that there's more little people stories than there is, you know, giants. You know, but there are, but the petroglyphs show giants. They're giants. They're huge. These are huge, tall guys, and it clearly shows a little guy standing next to them.
When you say they have little guy stories, are you mean like with the, for instance, the Irish talk about the leprechauns? That's what you're talking about? Little guys like that?
That's correct, yes. You know, like some people maybe call them lizard people, or some people would refer them as, you know, the greens, you know. Here's where the story gets a little interesting. The plot thickens a little bit, Kevin. As we were talking earlier, you mentioned in your book that you were talking about the lizard people. Now, I find this very interesting. The petroglyphs up here, now that they do show human figures up here, but it's not as much as what else they show. I mean, they show more of things in the sky and more of, I guess, these guys with tails. And it's like, is this to say that man isn't significant, but what is in the mountain, what had happened here, is significant. Now, as we were talking, you were saying that, you know, the lizard people came up out of the sand world, well, came up out from the underground, and that's exactly the story here. Now, as I'm studying this, as I'm going along through the years and really doing some serious hard thinking and doing research and analyzing this subject, I've come to the conclusion there is a lot more. There is so much that happened here. We are dealing with, I believe, many different life forms here that had happened here. I believe the lizard people is their own little type of race. I believe the Phoenix Lights is another type of alien, if you will, another type of life form. And like I said before, the archaeologists won't say, well, we don't have any evidence they went to war, but there's evidence that they were with war with something in the sky. Now, not only was the Indians shooting something at the sky, but there was another supernatural race with four arms that seemed to have some kind of magical staff. Now, the petroglyphs show this. It's on my website. If you look close enough, you can see this guy with four arms, and he's shooting something at a humanoid in the sky. Now, this makes me think about the Vyamanis that we read about in India, okay, and how they were able to stop these Vyamanis, and some of these other life forms, if you will, had this technology, had this type of weapon to put the Vyamanis back in their place, I guess, if you will. So we're not only dealing with the lizard people, we're also dealing with the Phoenix Lights and another type of life form that hasn't arrived yet.
We are just about into a break. Now, you've mentioned the Phoenix Lights, and when we come back from the break, I want us to address that just a moment, because on your website, you have a photograph of a petroglyph that looks just exactly like what we saw with the Phoenix Lights. So apparently, those people who created that petroglyph had seen the Phoenix Lights. We'll be back right after this. Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. And we are back. My guest this evening is Jeff Woolline, a controversial man.
Jeff, we'll get back to the story in just a moment, but you know that deal about you being controversial. Not only are you controversial because of your videos, but you are no doubt controversial with the archaeologists.
Yes. You know, I've done a lot of, in my personal opinion, I think I've made a serious impact here in Phoenix as far as the Phoenix Lights and UFOs, period, in general. You know, I've been studying UFOs and you know, other people who's been filming them and things like that, you know, but I've not once seen anyone bring out an archaeologist out of their shell to talk about UFOs.
Yeah.
You know, a city archaeologist, I've never seen anybody do that, and I applaud Channel News 15 for doing so. I didn't think that guy would ever come out of his shell, because I've tried to talk to this guy on a one-on-one basis, and I've tried to, but he's ignored me. I've given him news magazines of articles that I've written and stuff, and I've given him even videos and things like this. You know, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. He knows I'm correct, and in it he says, you know, at the time he was saying, he was kind of disagreeing with me, because at the time I was saying, you know, extraterrestrial, you know, they're from outer space, you know. And but see, he's already been up on the mountain, he's already seen all this stuff, and he knows better to not to say they're extraterrestrial but interterrestrial. And at the time, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, where are these things going? Until I actually saw for myself, and he's right, you know, it is. It's interterrestrial. These things are in the mountain here. And I don't know what else to do. I've done everything in my power here. I'm trying to bring this to the public's awareness. I took it a step further. I'm not out there trying to make money off these things, writing books and things and doing lectures and stuff. What I'm doing is I'm trying to get the information out here. Look, we're overlooking a lot of stuff here, man. There's petroglyphs on this rock that talk about these Phoenix Lights and the story of what happened here. And I think it's time we take a second look at this, because the things that happened before is happening now. It's happening to us now. And I think we need to go back and investigate this a little bit further. Instead of just sitting on our butts trying to make money from them, let's try to get out there and try to figure out what's going on.
All right. Now, it is your position, as you've stated, that these are interterrestrial. So what do you think is the deal? Do you think these things, you think there's like a colony of these things that live inside the mountain? Or, I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, to best explain it, you know how in a way this earth is, and all the living creatures on it, is biological. We all have living flesh and bone and things and blood and stuff. Well, that's just on the outer layer. There is another life form that I've learned about that's inside, that's in the under layer here, that's under the earth. And this is a different type of life form. This isn't little, you know, green guys in spaceships and you know, beam me up, Scotty type stuff. This is like supernatural. This is the stuff that, you know, people read about, you know, in scriptures and things like this. This is something, this is the cherubim, you know, in biblical days. These things are, in my opinion, they're angels. They are the fallen angels that were brought down to lust after the women and that bore giants. Point blank, simple, there it is. That's the conclusion I came up with. Now, when I first started investigating the Phoenix Lights, I was in the dark as most of everybody else. I was thinking spaceships and green guys and holy cow, here it is. And when I got up on the mountain and I started doing some serious research and I sat by that mountain for so many years and I learned the story, I came out of this thinking a whole different story and my whole life has changed. And I know now, I've seen it, I've seen these things, they're in the mountain, they are there. And the last time that they were here, it wasn't a very pretty thing. And I believe one of the reasons why the government isn't talking about this is because look at this. This is not green guys, spaceships, and here to help us. Because if they were here to help us, then you would think the government would be all over this saying, hey, we got a cure for AIDS, and hey, we got a cure from cancer. The extraterrestrials are here to help us. That's not what's going on here. They're burying this subject. They're blowing up the rocks. They're sending little white airplanes and little black helicopters, and they're not talking about this stuff, you know?
In our previous conversations, Jeff, you have intimated that you think these things, whatever they are, do not have our best interest at heart, may in fact be evil, and may have an agenda to cause people to worship them, or they want to have dominion over people. Do you still hold that view?
Oh, exactly. You know, I mean, in the way it's supposed to be, they're supposed to worship us. We're supposed to, we're not supposed to bow down to them. They are supposed to bow down to us. That's the way it's supposed to go down.
All right, now why do you think that it is their plan to have us be their subjects?
Well, I think you know they're setting up for the big one, for the big you know, I think all these little ones flying around here, I think it's just setting up for something bigger. You know, these little Phoenix Lights and things and all these flying snakes and stuff that people should be aware of because it's out here and they just need to pay attention. That's the reason why they haven't seen it yet, because they're not paying attention. These things don't make any noise, but it's there. You know, you have to watch and you have to know what time it's there and stuff to pay attention. And I just think that they're setting up an agenda here, and I think, and just my little opinion, if little old me can go up there and come down off that mountain and come back and say, holy cow, what is going on here, you know, I think it's time to leave the city, and I think anybody else could, you know, so I think if they come down and one of the Phoenix Lights comes down and turns himself into a person and says it's God, then people like me is going to run and yell and say, wait a minute, I got sacrifices out here, I got this, and you guys aren't very good. Wait, how are you going to help us when you deceived us last time? So what I think what could happen, and I think 2012 has a lot to do with it, you know, the Earth is going to move into alignment here pretty soon. And when it does, there's a lot of people, a lot of scholars and stuff that say that, you know, the Earth could stop, the Earth could, you know, stay still, you know, and in Revelations there's not supposed to be any sea, you know, and Nostradamus says that, you know, the oceans are going to stop and everything like that. And so I think that it's not the complete destruction of Earth, just enough that we're going to, you see, let me go back just a little bit further. The natives here say that these things are already here, and it was so hot here to live that these things actually taught them how to live, and we learned from them. So I think the process on this is going to return. I think eventually we're going to end up going back to the horse and buggy days, where we're not going to have any food, we're not going to have any water, and we're going to rely on these things. We're going to see these Phoenix Lights. One's going to come down and say he's God and say I'm here to help you, and that's when it's going to start all over again.
Well, now you see, here's a third reason you're controversial. Yeah, you know, and honestly, look, I admire the fact that you step up and say what you believe and what you have discovered, what you've documented. I admire that fact, but it is also a fact that it paints a target on you for a lot of different groups to say Woolline is controversial. And one reason would be the last thing you said, which is theological. Because a lot of people would say, well, you know, nobody, no modern person would bow down and worship these things. But I got to tell you something, Jeff. There's a whole group of people out there that are so in love with extraterrestrials. They're so in love with them that without any real tangible evidence, they are saying that the extraterrestrials are going to come and help us, and they are going to intervene and save us from destroying ourselves. I mean, there's a huge number of folks around the earth that believe that. Now, I doubt it because of the fact that you know, cancer's been around a long time. They've had plenty of time to give us the cure, and they haven't done it. And we could go on and on and on, you know, the things that they haven't done that they could have done lead me to believe they don't plan to do. But there's a group in this modern world, and a lot of these people have PhDs. A lot of these people are, you know, doctors, attorneys, they're professional people, and they totally believe that extraterrestrials are going to come and save us from ourselves. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue with Jeff Woolline. Don't go away.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Thank you.
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
My guest this evening, for those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour, is Jeff Woolline, a very controversial figure, but Jeff has, through all the controversies, persisted in researching the petroglyphs on the rocks on the mountains around the Phoenix area, and researching their connection to the strange things we see in the skies. Here in the Phoenix area. Jeff, we were talking about how people might be willing to sort of bow down to these things. You know, it's pretty interesting. People who say, I would never do this, I would never do that. When you put those people into a survival mode, something happens and now they have to survive. Something bad happens and they have to survive. A lot of times they do things they say they would never do. And plus there's already a mindset among millions of people on this planet that you know, they virtually worship the extraterrestrials now. And so you may be exactly right. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana. I was your guest last night.
Well, hello, Dick. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Hello, Jeff, Chris, well, how are you doing?
Jeff is a buddy of mine.
Good deal.
Hey, thank you.
You're controversial too, Dick.
Well, we at IPAS try to keep our people controversial, you know.
Keep them on their toes.
Jeff is one of the best. If you haven't seen any of his videos, man, you're in for a ride.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. It's something. It's really something out here.
I got a question for Jeff.
Right.
Jeff, did you complete that video that you was telling me about, that you was working on something about, had to do with little people or something like that?
Run that by me again?
There was something, some kind of video that you was working on, about a month ago, you was working on something about the little people and the petroglyphs or something. Did you ever complete that?
Yeah, I think the video I was working on was the new rap song video that some friends of mine got together, and they made a rap song of my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com. And it's really cool. And so what I did is I took that and I worked really hard on it, and I made a music video out of the UFOs, and it goes into the story on how, you know, the CCC came in there and they destroyed the petroglyphs, and then we got rumors on how there's UFOs there, and it has Phi Simon in there and stuff like that. So it's called the saga, the Phoenix Light saga, I believe it is, the saga video on my website. It's on the right side. It has a picture of like a little blue spaceship, I guess, kind of winged craft going over the city there. And it's a music video. It's pretty neat.
Well, Well, I have to check that out. Now, Kevin, you treat him pretty decent. He's a real fine trooper for us out there in your neck of the woods.
Oh, man, I treat everybody decent, you know?
I know you do. I'm just kidding. But he's a real fine guest there. He's a trooper for us, and he's kind of the eyes and ears out there for us.
Well, I know he's come up with a lot of interesting stuff.
Well, he's a controversial guy, and there's a lot of them that are upset at what he does, and I think he's wonderful.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
And, Dick, thanks for the call.
You're quite welcome.
All right.
You know, one of the things that makes me so controversial is apparently, and this is, and I believe that it's unfair to me because I'm having such a hard time with this. No one in the United States has really picked up on this. I mean, sure, they've seen these things, and they're way high up in the sky, and who knows if they're balloons or not, but no one has really sat within a mile away from these things, you know, and actually watched them, you know, come and go. No one has figured this out yet, you know? And so this is another reason I believe I'm so controversial, is because society is looking for green men and spaceships, and society has been taught that these things are going to help us out whenever they land. Well, in fact, in my opinion, in studying these things and the story on the mountain, that is not what's going to happen here. I think eventually it's going to go back to the time it was before, when we're going to eventually need these things to learn how to survive again. And this is the reason why they haven't made contact with us yet, is because we don't need them yet. What these things are, my opinion, are the watchers that some of the biblical texts talk about.
You know, in Mayan and Aztec culture, the god of education and of knowledge is Quetzalcoatl, who was a reptilian, upright, two legs, but had the ability to fly.
That's correct. Isn't that interesting? When you say that, it brings me right down to that morning where my son and I saw that flying snake come out of that mountain and come right to the apartments, right over our head there. I mean, that, in my mind, and seeing the snakes and the serpents and the pyramids and the snakes going down the pyramids and things like that, they're talking about that serpent there. Either that, or possibly, you know, like I said, something bigger is to come. I believe that these things are just, you know, they're getting ready for something bigger. The more, as years progress, the more we reach 2012, the more and more these things are coming and going from the mountain. It's, in my opinion, there's a mini alien invasion going on here in the city, and the public's not even aware about it. They're still thinking flares.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm one who doesn't think flares. I thought that was one of the lamest stories I have ever heard.
Oh,
I
yeah.
laughed at it whenever it came out, and I said, come on, guys, I understand you need to use cover stories, but get better writers.
Yeah, you know, when they pulled that crap with me in 2004, when I was seeing those lights on the east side of the mountain, then I was like, wait a minute, hold the phone. I have been studying these things way long enough to know that these things like mountains. You know, these things like mountains. So what I did is I went on a hunch. You know, the government's telling me I'm seeing flares, and I'm saying, no, those things are right over the power plant of the city here next to the mountain. So I moved to the mountain on a hunch. Whole thing was all guesses, and it comes to turn out that I was right the whole time, that these things, it's real. The whole Native American myths on how there's spirits and doorways and supernatural beings and things, it's correct. It's right. And this just doesn't explain. You know, Arizona's petroglyphs, that explains pretty much the whole petroglyphs surrounding the whole United States, because it's the same story. Maybe a little bit different interpretation, but the same story, the same Phoenix lights. Look at the Mafia lights in Texas. You see, the same stuff is hitting the United States. So I think, you know, if there's petroglyphs on the mountain where you live at, I think maybe it's time for you to go over there and sit and watch those hills there for a bit, and I bet you'll see one. You know, let's go back into the reason why these things like mountains, in my opinion. South Mountain was created by a fault line. And in studying these things in 2004, I noticed that there's a power plant sitting on the east side over here. And also, if you look on my website, petroglyphsfromthesky.com, they documented a map, 1930s, I believe it was, when they showed adobe structures in that area where the power plant today now stands. So there were people living in that area where those lights were hanging out at, right there. And I believe what this power plant is doing is boring itself down into the fault line there to generate the gas to turn on our electric. And I believe these things, and watching them hanging over that power plant there in 2004, I don't know if you remember or not, but a grid went down here in Phoenix, and they had to pull in a whole new grid from California, and it took almost a month to get here. Is that a coincidence that the lights were hanging around over the power plant that year also? Also, another thing, I've seen photographs of lights hanging over the nuclear power, Verde power plant. Now, every time around the seasons, the government comes out and gives us some cock and bull story on how they need to shut down some of this nuclear power, Verde power plant, and they turn on these electrical power plants. Now, I believe the reason why they do this is because if these things is absorbing the energy, is sucking up our energy, then I believe if they're hanging around the power plant, it could cause a breach. So to avoid this, what they do is they just turn on the electrical power plants around the valley. So if they're gonna shut anything down, it's gonna be that grid, and that's exactly what happened in 2004.
Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Jeff, I'm just wondering if you've tried any music yet.
Any music?
To draw them out.
Oh, very good point. Very, very, very good. Very good. Awesome, awesome. I went on vacation, and I went up to close to Flagstaff there, and I noticed I was looking at some of the Native American, you know, art and stuff like that, and I noticed flutes. You know what? Flutes, music. You're right. I think you nailed it right on the head. I think, yes, if you look at some of the legends here, these petroglyphs, I'm living proof. This is what happened to me. I can't explain it. This is the only reason why I was able to see these things. Somehow or another, I was able to invoke these things up out of the rock. Now, that's what the Native Americans say, man, that yes, you have, these petroglyphs has power to invoke these things. Well, damn, that's what happened. You know, that's the only explanation I can think of. And I think music, because I go up there, I talk to them, and you know what, every once in a while I'll hear an Indian song, and I'll just sing it out there, you know? And when you look at these flutes, and when you look at some of the Native American art, you notice some of these Indians, they're with a flute player, and they're not up in the sky with their flutes. The flutes are pointing down on the ground. Why is that? It's like, you know, they're playing for like a snake coming out of one of those things, you know, like the flute players do, you know. But in fact, what they're doing is summoning up these things. So yes, I think music has a lot to do with it. And yes, I picked me up a Native American flute while I was there, and I'm getting ready to try it.
Good. Good luck, and I hope you draw them out.
Awesome question, and I think you know that. Yes, I think music has a lot to do with it.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call. Interesting point. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't get it earlier, is 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092, and that number is toll-free throughout North America. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Bob from California.
All right, Bob. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just had a question for Jeff.
Yeah.
I was wondering two things. Number one, do you think that these things are, like, interdimensional? Like, maybe, like, there's other dimensions besides the one that we're in? And then the second one, have you had any encounters with, like, wildlife as far as snakes or scorpions hitting you while you're up there?
Oh, awesome questions, man. Yeah, there is.
I'll go ahead and hang up now.
Okay, thanks for the call, Bob.
Thank you.
Wonderful questions. You know, that is, I'm, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, because there's some people, there's some, like, I guess you could call them UFO investigators that I've worked with here in the Valley and that I've done little special segments on. And once I start going in depth with these things, and I start showing them the petroglyphs and on how, you know, they're actually taking these people away and stuff, they're kind of lenient about going to the mountain. It's like, I'm having trouble now getting this guy up to the mountain now, him and his family, because they used to go up there with me all the time. But when I started showing them all this stuff, they're like a little afraid of going up there. So I'm getting questions, you know, well, aren't you afraid of them, you know, them picking you up and carrying you away and stuff like that? And the way I think of it is there's people up there all the time, you know. And if they could pick up anybody anytime they wanted to, you know, but they haven't done it yet. I don't think it's time yet. You know, I don't think, like I said, they're waiting for something, and I think 2012 has a lot to do with it. But I think we should treat these things like spoiled children, like animals. Like sometimes they want attention, and when they want attention, they'll show up. They'll do a big grand event, like the Phoenix Lights, or they'll show up right in front of a news helicopter to get attention. If somebody's noticing them, like what I did in 2005, then things are okay. But if somebody goes away, then they get restless again. They want to present themselves to us, but then again, they're shy. They're very shy. I mean, you just don't go up there expecting the first day to see one. No, you need to keep going up there, and it's like they have to get used to you first. I don't know what it is, but this seems to be what's going on. Once you get used to them and they get used to you, then it's on from there. Then you'll see them. Once you go up there and have faith in them, and you know in your heart that there's something here, I think it works when they do come up.
Yeah, they kind of connect with you then.
Yeah,
let's go back
exactly.
to the phone lines, Jeff. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Good evening, Kevin. Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening.
Yes, hi. It's really hard to hear you. Hi.
I'll try to speak up. My question is, do you think the Americans have already checked it all out, the government, I mean? Because we were heard by Kevin's guest last night that they've been on the moon since 1960. So
oh, yeah.
So everything up there to know is already known.
Oh,
that's
exactly.
That's why they're trying to block you.
Exactly. I think the question was, does the United States government already know about these things?
Yeah.
That's it. Yes, they do. Absolutely. They've been watching these things for a lot longer than I have. You know, and then all of a sudden, then they started watching me. You know, they wasn't harassing me. There's no stories of them breaking into my house and taking my tapes or anything like that. But I can tell you that as soon as I started making the news, the black helicopters and these little white airplanes was hanging around my apartment a lot. There was a time when I was waiting for the bus stop, and this black helicopter swooped down on me. I flipped them off. That's just the guy I am. Get away from me. I know who you are, you know. But, yes, and I think there's even possible sensors up there. There could be hidden cameras that when people get close to these sacred spots, you know, the government is aware of it. I don't know if they were tracing me by my cell phone, you know, with a link, but it seemed like every time I got around these spots, here comes a little white airplane. You know, so it was like they're monitoring, and they're monitoring who's monitoring that. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, yeah, so they have been watching this, and they're continuing to watch it. And I put it on my website. You know, if you look at that black helicopter, he goes three times to that spot where that serpent came out of, that crack right there. And then he sits there at my window and stares at me. You know, it took me 2 years to figure out where those doors was, but yet this little black helicopter went to every spot I was watching within 20 minutes. And I was like, how did he know about that? How did he know?
So he already knew.
You're right, yeah. Exactly.
Michelle, did you have another question or comment?
Well, I have a question. That I don't know if it does with this. How far is the desert to sand away from these mountains?
Miles.
Miles?
The mountains are sitting in the desert, and Phoenix has grown up around them, and the desert extends for miles.
Okay, so loss of desert ain't no danger then, because you know already we're losing about 6 inches and a half a year of desert.
Well, you don't need to fear that the desert around Phoenix is getting smaller. I can promise you, it's the desert here. The entire valley is a desert.
There's still a lot of dirt.
Yeah, and Phoenix sits in a bowl. It sits in a valley, and they call it the Valley of the Sun. And if you're out here in August, September, October, you know exactly why they call it the Valley of the Sun.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call.
You know what? To go back to that last caller's question on the wildlife out there, my point was getting ready to be, I'm more afraid of the wildlife on the mountains than I am these things. You know, because these things could easily come out of nowhere and just, you know, pick me up anywhere and pick up anybody, you know. And, yes, I have run into a rattlesnake up there, and thank God, you know, I mean, as soon as he started...
What about coyotes?
Oh, sure, yes, there's coyotes up there, there's javelinas up there, and... And there's a javelina nest. I've been following these guys for the last year and a half, and it's cute. It's a little javelina family, but they're hanging around that spot out there where the petroglyphs are. So some days they let me go in there, and then some days they chase me off the mountain. And it's interesting, too, because the wildlife sticks up for each other. There's a coyote out there that's overlooking the pig, the baby pigs out there, you know, the javelina pigs. He chased me off the mountain one day. So yes, you know, there is a lot of wildlife up there, and I usually go up there like about now when the snakes are like in hibernation, when it's really cold. This is the time to really go up there and doing some investigating. When it starts to get hot and you start seeing lizards coming out and absorbing up on the rock, then you know the scorpions and the snakes are out. And then you really need to pay attention. I've been fortunate enough. I mean, I see people coming and going on the news all the time and being rescued from helicopters and stuff off the mountains, but yet I come down, you know, I'm safe. I'm okay. So I think it's just common sense, basically, you know.
And for people who live outside of this area, let me say, when we talk about snakes, you hear Jeff talking about snakes. There's all kinds of snakes, but there is a proliferation of rattlesnakes.
That's correct.
Out here in the desert, and scorpions, and the rattlesnakes, of course, it's a myth that they always rattle before they strike.
Oh.
They generally will rattle. They shake their tail. They vibrate their tail, and they have a bony structure at the end of their tail that rattles. You hear it. Generally, they rattle before they strike, but not always. And a rattlesnake bite is particularly nasty, and it really can and will kill you if you don't have immediate attention.
Right.
And even if you survive it, it will do damage to you.
That's correct. Let's go back a little bit back on the controversial part. You know what? I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before. If you look at Nostradamus, you know, he's talking about the same things I'm pretty much talking about that's coming up in the future. If you look at the Indians, you know, they're saying these things are coming up out of the ground. If you look at my website, I pretty much try to cover my butt that I'm not the only one that said this. You know, this has been said for thousands of years. The legend of these mountains has been going on for thousands of years. And that's why it's just like, well, if I'm so controversial, then why don't you look into what I did? And if you notice, in all my videos and everything I do and everything I try to do, I want people to go up there. Hell, I even take tours to go up there. I don't charge anything. I do it out of my free time. I want people to go up there and take a look at the altars and take a look at, and let them make up their own mind. You know, don't take my word for it. You know, if you want to see
UFO, but see, Jeff, what makes you controversial is your information upsets the established apple cart.
Yeah,
I mean, really, I mean, the petroglyphs have been, I mean, let's just be honest about it. Here in the United States of America, we have not taken seriously the myths, the legends, the lore of Native Americans.
That's correct.
There was a concerted effort by the United States government to eliminate the Native Americans. Not a proud chapter in our history,
right?
But it's a fact. There was wholesale slaughter of Native Americans, and then everything sort of went quiet. You know, we just don't talk about that a lot, and everything about the Native Americans, including those petroglyphs, is something that's just kind of quiet, and when we do talk about it, we just sort of, oh, that's cute, you know, and we don't take it seriously.
You know, I've been studying Hitler, and one of his beefs he had with the United States is he, in his mind, considered the Indians part of the master race. You know, when we look on these petroglyphs, we find swastikas out here. Now, in my research and studying this stuff, when I see these petroglyphs, when I see a guy looking, for instance, at a diamond, you know, and then I see that diamond in the sky, you know, I can relate to that. When I see something on the rock and has got, there's like a crooked formation or a crooked line, a crooked snake, I like to call it, and it's over this guy's head, and then when I come home and I videotape the same thing coming off the mountain, I can relate to that. I understand this. Now, when I see a swastika over a coyote's head or over some other guy's head, now just because I haven't seen the swastika in the sky, it's leading me to believe that I bet you these Native Americans were seeing these swastikas, not only in the sky, but they were actually taking people away. The petroglyphs show men hanging on to swastikas. Some people, you know, say the swastikas, you know, the circle of life and things like this. Some swastikas do stand for this, but other swastikas mean it could be one of these supernatural beings. Now, if you look at Hitler, he used a swastika. Look at some of his, I was studying some of his airplane designs. If you notice, some of them kind of resemble UFOs. My biggest thing right now is the Stuka aircraft, the Stuka Germany aircraft. He has those crooked bent wings. Well, you know what? That kind of resembles the crooked snake that I filmed coming off the mountain there. So I think, you know, in his mind, you know, and what was he after? He was after the Jews, you see? So I think he kind of had prior knowledge to this master race, to, you know, these creatures, to the supernatural beings. Matter of fact, you know, he sent these stormtroopers out to find biblical artifacts. So he was onto this stuff. He knew.
Well, yeah, you know, the movie, the first Indiana Jones movie, you know, had to do with looking for the lost Ark of the Covenant. And in fact, Hitler did send a team looking for that. We have a break coming up. Let me ask our caller, are you willing to hang on until we get through with the break?
Sure am, yes.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. You won't hear anything. You'll just be on hold. But I'll get you first when we come back from the break. All right, folks, we'll be back on the other side of this break. More with Jeff Woolline and our caller.
Thank you.
everything will be okay. Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those good things, you know, well, they happen every day.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and Jeff, we're going to go straight to the to our telephone, to our caller here in just one second. But I want to remind everyone, those of you who are members, if you're part of the members area, you've joined, you've got a membership at kevinsmithshow.com. This Saturday evening is the time for our chat. I'll be in the chat room, and we begin at the same time that you begin the show. So no matter what time zone you're in, if you're in the Pacific time zone, then for you that begins at 7 p.m. Central time zone, it begins at 9 p.m. If you're in the Eastern time zone, it begins at 10 p.m. So at the same time that the show goes live every night, that's the time that I will be in the chat room, and I'll be glad to chat with you and answer any questions you may have about anything related to me or the show, okay? Or anything else if I happen to know about it. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Ed in Pennsylvania calling.
Yes, Ed. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Jeff, I have a question, and just was wondering, you came to a conclusion that these things are fallen angels. What brought you to that conclusion? Was it one thing that happened, an experience, or was it just a culmination of things?
Well, I think it was a lot of studying biblical scrolls, you know, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and the book of Genesis, and then some of the other books that we don't find in the Bible, you know, like the book of Enoch, you know, when it says the same story that the Native Americans are saying, you know, because the Native Americans are saying, well, their spirits are in the rocks, or in the valleys of the rocks, or the mountains, you know, and yet the biblical scrolls are talking about, well, this is where the fallen angels were cast down into, you know, and the biblical scrolls are saying, well, you know, mankind, you know, worship these things and stuff. Well, that's what we're finding out here. You know, on the mountains and stuff, we're seeing the same story. We're seeing the altars, and we're seeing the petroglyphs of these creatures, and we're finding spirals. Now, some of these spirals represent a natural water tank, a natural water flow from the mountain. And anybody that studies what weathering does knows that, you know, you have ripples in the rock over time, and you can determine that water has run over this rock through hundreds of thousands of years. But yet, when we find a spiral with a rock with no weathering on it, and a guy entering the spiral, that's something completely different. That is not a water tank. That is a spot where these things actually come and go from. Now, it's interesting on these spirals, when the spiral, in my opinion, watching these things and studying them, when the spiral ends down, that means that the doorway is like right there in the ground there. When the spiral ends up, that means there's some kind of vortex, there's some kind of door, you know, in the sky there. That's what we're talking, Phoenix lights. When those things just pop in, do a little magic, and pop out. You see, there's a door right there. It's a hot spot, you know.
Have you personally had any type of, like, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ed.
Have you personally had any type of maybe like a supernatural experience while you're around these things?
Well, you know, supernatural. I mean, every time you see one, it's supernatural. You know, every time you witness something like this, you know, it really sinks in. It really, I mean, you get closer to Earth and you get closer to these mountains and you really can understand this. And yeah, you know, there does. It seems like I get a lot of negative stuff. There's a lot of negative energy up there.
Yeah.
You know, I had a motorcycle accident back in 1987, and I had an out-of-body experience, and I saw my body, you know, while the operators were working on me and stuff. And I think, you know, that might have some kind of, I think the people that have that, you know, because in a way, that's like a type of rapture, don't you think? So it's like kind of half raptured up, you know? And I think maybe there's some kind of connection with that. And I think the people who has had out-of-body experience also has a little extra thing or whatnot to maybe provoke these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think just studying it and watching it and all the stories of the same thing we've been hearing about and reading about, that's the only conclusion that I can come up with. Because why, if these things were good, why are we killing, you know, our children? You know, they were killing children out here, you know, for sacrifices and stuff. So if they were here to help us, then why do they want blood from us? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I actually was a nuts and bolts guy myself, and I'm kind of leaning towards an interdimensional type thing now, too,
well,
the more I look into this myself. So, I mean, it's just, the whole thing sounded crazy to me a couple of years ago that these weren't extraterrestrial beings. But I can honestly say, just through researching it myself, I'm leaning towards that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not to say that there isn't spaceships and green guys, you know, out there. Who knows?
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, I haven't witnessed anything like that. You know, you talk to people and they say, well, there's an alien that came and visited to me at my bed. I don't know what to say to that because I wasn't there.
Right.
I was at the mountain. I was seeing these things. And I can tell you that it wasn't a green guy in spaceship, that it's like supernatural stuff. When they come out of the mountain, they're like a spirit. You can kind of see through them and stuff. As they ascend, that's when they start changing shape, making formations and stuff, and it's like their skin, they adapt to the atmosphere. That's when people start seeing, because when they're already high up in the sky, they're already looking silver and stuff. They're doing magical things up there, and they're glistening and things like that. So people automatically assume, hey, that's a spaceship, look at that thing. But in fact, they really don't understand what they're looking at. They're looking at another life form. This is another creature, you know. So, and I think it's Hollywood, you know.
So, Ed,
Hollywood.
You've come to the same conclusion over the past year?
Yeah, well, about the last 2 years, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen, where I live in Pennsylvania, a yellow orb rise out of the mountain, and when it got so high, it flicked on the FAA lights. It had green and red lights with a white light and started flashing, and then took on well, I don't want to say an appearance, but the speed of an airplane.
Uh-huh.
So,
so you, when you see, have you seen any of Jeff's videos?
I have, but not for a while. I think I've seen the snake video
mm-hmm.
On his website.
So, to you, as you look at that, and you hear what he says about these things and about the petroglyphs, it does not seem incredible to you.
No, no, and I would have thought Jeff was, I don't know, I don't want to say crazy, but I just wouldn't have believed what he's saying. But since I've seen that, I've seen a couple other things that have made me kind of lean towards Jeff's direction, and I was not I wasn't a religious person before,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly has shed a new light on things for me.
Hey, that's wonderful. That's great. Thank you so much for calling. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's Ed, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, thanks. 1-800-289-1092. That's the number to call. It's toll free. It doesn't get any cheaper than free, folks. I pay for the call. 1-800-289-1092. And we'd love to hear from you from all over the United States and Canada. If you live outside of North America, you can still participate without it costing you anything by sending me a flash message. Just send your comment or question and send it in an email. Address it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com, and it'll flash up on my screen, and I will be more than happy to read it and get Jeff to comment on it, all right?
You know what? I really love those callers, you know, because on my website, you know, only the people, you know, that have seen these things can relate to what I'm saying. You know, I mean, because anybody can say, oh, this and that, and they're coming and going, you know. But until you actually see it, that's when your mind is kind of changed. That's when you start, you know, thinking a little bit different now, you know, on my website. Because once your eyes are open, or reopened, as I like to say, there's no going back. You know it's there, you know. No one else can tell you you're filming balloons. No one else can tell you anything else. You know, you've seen it. So you just have to wait until somebody else sees it, and then you're like, oh, man, that is so cool. You saw one, too, and you understand it, and that's wonderful. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do is raise this awareness here. It's like this is something kind of different. This is something kind of new and something no one has talked about in so many thousands of years. But it's here. This is what's going on.
What you say, the videos you present, and the photographs that you present, and the information that you share with us about the petroglyphs and history and so forth, it upsets the norm in the UFO community. It upsets the norm in archaeology. It upsets the norm in American history. It upsets the norm in archaeology.
Yeah, I guess you could say what I'm doing is the forbidden archaeology and the forbidden sky watching, I guess you could say.
Well, I don't know if it's forbidden, but certainly it is giving us information that upsets at least four big apple carts, and that's right. Why you're controversial.
And I think if they would just, you know, get off their high seat there and just come down to the mountain and check it out for themselves. You know, I think their whole shed of thinking would change, you know, once they see it. I mean, look at my website. Look at the crazy things flying around. This isn't green guys in a spaceship. This is crazy, supernatural, scary things. And this is the reason why the government isn't talking. Another reason is because it's not a green guy. You know, it's not spaceships. It's supernatural creatures that are scary looking. And it's going to be really hard for the public to accept this, and they're not accepting it as it is. I mean, you can prevent all, you can show all these facts and all this stuff, and you can show all these videos, but you still can't convince anybody until they actually see it for themselves, you know. But I just want people to be aware of this, not to fall into the trap, you know, because the evidence is all over the mountains of when they were here before, and I think that they're getting ready to do it again. And you're right, because a lot of people are here. Well, they're going to help us. They're going to help us, you know. And I just think they're a little confused. And I think because this is a free country, we have the right to decide if it's true or not. But at the very end, you won't have that decision. You won't have that.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It will be there, yes, sir.
We're into a break, Jeff, and we'll be back. Folks, on the other side of this, don't go away.
Fade to blue. those people. There are no congregation to. But if it ever filled with people, I know you'd just take out the pews. Blow the songs that we used to sing. Land the way. The coldest chill it was in that diamond ring. I knew we'd ever had a chance. Well, it's been years now since I saw you last. And my, how quickly the time has passed.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Don't forget, folks, there's time. If you're not a member yet, if you haven't joined our members area, there's time for you to do that in order to get in on our Saturday evening chat this Saturday evening, okay? Once a month I'm in the chat room. It's this Saturday evening. And I look forward to meeting you there and chatting with you there. And but you got to be a member, all right? So join our members area. It's you can do it, you know, if you sign up for a monthly subscription. Then it's $6.95 a month, all right? Just realize that that's every month, all right? So when you sign up for it, if you decide after 1 month you don't want it, don't raise hell with me when your credit card gets hit again for the next month, because you have to go back and hit the unsubscribe button if you want to unsubscribe, all right? It's on the same page. All right, we're talking with Jeff Woolline, and Jeff, we are in our final 15 minutes. As I normally say, we are on final approach here. The new information that you have discovered, and you've shared some of it with us, the information about the old maps showing features that were there before there was a power plant, and the old story from the newspaper talking about the gold and so forth. But from the new discoveries added into everything that you already had uncovered in your research, do you still hold the position that a very dangerous time is coming for this area as a result of these things?
Yes, I think you know, when I was a kid growing up, we wasn't talking about flares and talking about lights by the mountains and things. I mean, this is all happening. It seems like it started really flocking in around 1995, at least here in Phoenix anyway. And so the more you look into it, the more you do research, and then, you know, the Mayans are out there talking about this 2012, and Nostradamus is talking about, you know, how not only Nostradamus, but the scientists has already admitted that the ice glaciers due to global warming is going to drop. And if it drops up there, then, you know, it could cause a mini typhoon or a tsunami there. And it could flood the whole, you know, west coast of the United States, you know, like Mexico. And matter of fact, Mexico is already underwater as it is now. You know, so, I mean, these things are flocking in, and it seems like the more, like on the west side of the coast, you know, they're all flocking over there on the west, and the east coast, and it seems like all around the areas where there, you know, where there's water at. But, and then we find crop circles inland. So what is this telling us? Is the safe spots, you know, inland there, you know, away from those water markers and stuff like this? You know, something I like to bring up, when I was a kid, I watched, and I haven't seen it since. So if somebody, you know, if someone has seen this, please email me and let me know where I can find it, and please let me know you've seen it too. When I was a kid, Orson Welles did a thing on Nostradamus, and I remember this to a T, because, you know, even as a kid, I was always, you know, into prophecy and things like this. So I remember what he said. He said that at the end of getting closer to 2012, at the end of days, that there will be we'll have Star Wars, and at the time we didn't even know what Star Wars was. At the time, we didn't know about lasers and shooting down missiles and things, but it says that we were going to have Star Wars. There was going to be a fight over oil, and nuclear missiles were going to be sent over to the United States, and the Star Wars program was able to knock out about three of them, but at least two or three of them was able to escape. They were able to hit the United States, and then he says extraterrestrials will come and intervene. And that was about as far as I can remember that, but I do remember.
So this was in a television program.
Yes, it was a television program on Channel 8, and back in 1980s, I think it was, 1981, 82, something like that, years ago. It was Orson Welles, and now I can't find it anywhere, but I know what I heard, and I know it was Orson Welles. And it's interesting that he says that the guy, you know, it's going to provoke this, you know, due to oil, is going to be wearing a blue turban and stuff like this, you know. So all these things that were said years ago when I was a kid listening to it is happening now. And this is the reason why I feel that, you know, things are going to change here in 2012. I don't think it's going to be the total destruction of Earth. There will be survivors after this, and that's when the Phoenix Lights is going to come down and say, you know, we're here to help you. But in fact, they're not. If you remember at the beginning of the show, I said there's a lot of different races out here, and one of these races was on the human side. Whoever race this is, with all these arms, with these magical tubes, these weapons or whatever that were shooting at these humanoids in the sky, was on the human side. So there is good. I mean, I'm not saying that these things are all bad. There is good ones out there too. And I think those are the ones we really should be looking for, and not the Phoenix Lights to be our savior.
All right. You still are running tours up there. So if people want to go with you up on South Mountain, how do they arrange that?
Well, they can email me, and then I can give them my personal phone number, and we can set up a time and date, and we can go up on South Mountain. But you know what? The CCC did the damage on South Mountain, but we have mountains all around the valleys. And in the research, these things are in everywhere, and is around the whole valley. These things are in the mountains around the whole valley. So all these mountains around us have petroglyphs, and there the rest of the story is. I went to the White Tanks, and I checked out the petroglyphs there. And they're beautiful. They're awesome. It talks about the story. It talks about these supernatural beings. And it shows a waterfall. I think water has a lot to do with the energy and with the resources that these things need. And it shows a waterfall with a big barbell coming out of it. And I'm sure you find that fascinating, Kevin, because you've seen a barbell in the sky yourself. And here I find all these, every places in the valley, we find these, you know, they call them natural water springs, and there's water tanks around there. But if you notice, there's also petroglyphs around these water tanks also. So I think water in combination with the fault line, and in combination with the way the sun is positioned and aligned to match the mountain, that has everything to do with it. The Indians did all this stuff for us. They tracked them. They told us what they looked like. They told us when they're going to be here, and they told us where the doors are. Now all we got to do is use common sense, and that's basically what these petroglyphs is. It's common sense. Hell, you see, when you're a kid and you draw something in the, you know, you draw something and you saw a bird in the sky, you're going to draw a guy with a bird seeing something in the sky, and that's common sense. You saw something in the sky. Basically, that's what's going on here. There's petroglyphs all over the mountain, but only in certain spots of the mountain. It's because nothing happened over there on that side, but something did happen over here on this side. To follow these things is to follow the sun's energy through the tracking of the seasons. January, February, March, and around in April is very, very hot. Those things are here. I saw a little white thing fly right over the house today heading towards South Mountain. So I know they're back. And like I said, the Indians did it for us, and all we have to do is just sit and watch now and see what happens next.
And you don't charge for these tours, right?
Absolutely not. No, I don't charge for anything. Matter of fact, I like to give out, you know, DVDs that I make. excuse me, of my sightings and stuff. And it's awesome. Go up there and spend a day of it, you know, and take a look at the petroglyphs and have an open mind. And
yeah, and if nothing else, you can be chased by a coyote.
Yeah, you know. Well, we don't go into those spots. I don't take the, you know, only if someone wants to go up onto some of the higher cliffs, you know, maybe the first couple of times I take them to the lower cliff, you know, the lower petroglyphs, and then if I feel that they'll be able to make some of the higher ones, you know, then we can do that.
Okay. Well, listen, we're really running out of time here, and I want you to tell us again very quickly the web address.
Well, it's petroglyphsinthesky.com, and there's all my sightings there, and it's got all the information there. Everything I've said on your show tonight is pretty much backed up with other people that's, you know, been saying this for all these centuries. That's another thing I really tried to do. You know, I mean, I'm not the only one saying this.
I wish we could go on, Jeff. We can't. We're out of time. Thanks for being with us. Stay on the phone with me for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Woolline. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, so long, everybody.